Thank you for downloading this Cheek by Jowl podcast. For further information on the company, this year's tours of Cymbeline and Three Sisters, education packs and other downloads, please visit www.cheekbyjowl.com.
My name is Heather Neal, and I'm now joined by two actors from the Cheek by Jowl company working on Cymbeline at the moment. Two actors, but three roles between them. Tom Hiddleston, who's playing both Cloten and Posthumus, and Jodie McNee, who's playing Imogen. Let's start with the doubling, because that's, in one or two cases, that looks quite difficult. You've got a rather quick change at one point, haven't you?
I do. The doubling. I think the doubling, the thing about that's interesting about Posthumus and Cloten is that they are formed by their reactions to their reaction to Imogen. They are completely in response to Imogen throughout the play. And at the beginning of the play, Posthumus has been chosen by Imogen in rejection of Cloten. So Imogen loves Posthumus and she hates Cloten. And to be the actor being both of those people is interesting, I think, for our relationship, for mine and Jodie's on stage, and trying to find their similarities and their differences together at the same time. And what is interesting, I think, when Declan first suggested the double, he talked about the fact that they are obviously very different, in that Cloten is a born prince, possibly spoilt and possibly a buffoon, and Posthumus is a beggar, but their attitudes to Imogen are both different and the same, and there's a, perhaps, I mean, maybe this is too strong to say, there's a misogyny that is overt and blatant in Cloten in his disrespect for the wishes of Imogen. He just persists in his courtship in spite of her rejection. But the misogyny in Posthumus is hidden, but the insecurity is still there. His attitudes to women are not one of equality, and he's so easily swayed when he goes to Italy. And his speech after he believes that Iachimo has slept with Imogen is very interesting, and it's to spin on his heels so quickly and have a sort of hold fast about his attitude to women. He says,
quickly persuaded, isn't
yeah,
he?
And they both and there are bits in the text where they both seem to have a very similar opinion of women. It's either love or hate. It's either they put Imogen on a pedestal or she's underfoot. They can't meet her as an equal, either of them.
So Jodie, as Imogen, you've got a fantastic part. It's a beautiful part, isn't
yeah.
it? It is such a spirited character. What do you feel about playing against the same actor in two different roles? Does it help or not?
It comes down to the relationship of the two. What my feelings and needs from each person is.
Do you feel there is a misogyny in Posthumus's relationship with you, for instance?
I think I Imogen only finds that out throughout the play. She goes on a journey throughout the play, and when she finds out that he thinks she would betray him, and then he wants to have her killed. That's quite
yes,
a big
he
revelation.
Does actually hit her, which of he course
hits,
he doesn't realise that,
at the
that,
end,
it, that
yeah.
it is Imogen, but it's quite a shocking scene that though, anyway.
Yeah, to see to because the audience know it's Imogen.
Yes. Do you think she is liberated in her boy's costume? Does it help her?
I think Imogen finds her voice. She goes on a journey through the play and that helps, the fact that she breaks free from the palace and from her father. She breaks free from her parent. And she goes to Wales and she dresses up as a man and she dies and comes back to life. She goes through a war as a soldier and then she comes back to the court at the end and she finds her... She's grown up a bit more. Mm. And she makes her peace with her father at the end. I think that's a massive theme through the play, growing up and leaving your parents, to find yourself, to understand what you want.
Yes, both the characters have very distinct characteristics at the beginning. They're almost kind of broad brush, aren't they? And then it becomes a bit more complicated and fluid as they as they're growing up.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, it's true.
But is that true of Cloten as well? Because it would be very easy to play him as just as a clodhopping sort of. Well, his name is almost that, isn't it?
Yes, I think lots of productions have made a virtue of that actually. But I think the way that Cheek by Jowl and Nick and Declan work is that you can't start from a broad brush in a sense, and even to talk of character is kind of anathema to Declan. He doesn't believe in character really. He only believes in so as opposed to, for example, if you were thinking what's my character, the sort of Stanislavskian question is who am I. But Declan's question is that nobody ever knows who they are. And it's a much more useful question to ask, who do I want to be and who am I afraid I am? And so for me, in either Posthumus's skin or Cloten's, it's who do I want to be and who am I afraid I am? And for Cloten, you know, he wants to be the one that Imogen chooses, so he's going to go after that. Whatever. And of course, you know, the audience have to see that these two people are different, but in order to give it a weight, you have to find answers to those questions. Once we've done the read through, it's very the way the process works is it's very very open for a bit.
You've both worked with Cheek by Jowl before, haven't you?
Yes.
And obviously liked it enough to come back again. Is it how would you describe the method of the company?
It's hard in a way to describe it, but it's very it's very free, and if you present something, it'll always be made better and made.
It's a very creative process because there's always Declan's always making suggestions and keeping rehearsals are very alive. They're always imaginative and
Without being prescriptive, he finds a way of making you try all the range of choices that you can, the range of ways you can play a scene, and that's just from getting a whole company up on its feet and moving in space. It's that very old-fashioned thing that lots of actors talk about. The first thing we established was the status of the king, and so David Collings, who's playing Cymbeline. You know, the company were just standing in space as members of the court, and he was asked to move around these people, and he doesn't play the king, everybody else plays the king. And in a way, it was sort of establishing a physical, you know, a whole collective physical relationship of the company, so that the king had a special status, and the queen also had a special status, and the princess, Imogen, has a particular status, and that the way these courtiers respond to each member of the court, king, queen, Imogen, Cloten, is very different. And suddenly something is alive, because you've got four very different entities which are alive and moving in space, and then suddenly Declan will shout a piece of text, and slowly you've got things that work.
You both have some quite challenging scenes. I would have thought for you, as Imogen, Jodie, that the waking up beside the dead body must be very difficult, because it would be very easy for it to look funny to people, and presumably that isn't what's going to be in your mind at the time. You have to enter into the true horror of it, of that, don't you? Is that something you've been working on?
Declan always says to put it outside of yourself, so you're never. I mean, because it's quite easy to wake up next to the body and to kind of go and to be upset and to kind of just cry yourself through the whole thing. What Declan said was to put it outside of yourself and put it into the. Ask the audience questions and need something from the audience, and stay in contact with them and it.
I think there's a bit one point in Act Two where you go out as one character and come in almost immediately as the other one. What is that? Are you actually sort of changing your mind, as it were, literally outside, off stage, just before you come in again? Or is that hard to do?
It sort of is. It feels like it is an internal thing, but it isn't a mental thing.
Are you wearing? You don't have to change costume.
No, I'll be wearing the same thing, and hopefully it'll be clear from the way that I am in space, but the way that other members of the company respond to me, that I'll be a very different person, because it's how people respond to you that makes you who you are. You know, so if people give you respect, then, you know, if as posthumous, people give me respect, it's kind of good. But it's close, and if I'm just very smelly, you know, people just go, who is he? So hopefully it's not just my job to create the double, if you see what I mean.
So you're saying the same, something similar to what Jodie's just said, really, that it's the audience's response is what helps you to make the change.
Yes. And as much the other members of the company as well. I mean, Jodie as much does the double as me, if you see what I mean. Because of how she, you know, if you can imagine how Jodie is physically with Posthumus is so different from how she is physically with Clotin. Yes. So we're both working together. It's not just me having to worry about shifting my mind, even though I do have to kind of do a kind of about turn in my head.
You don't do a funny walk as Clotin to make it clear, do you?
well, I tried that, but we decided to bin that option.
We've tried all sorts.
It's important to try all sorts, I think. It's important to do a silly walk and in all that sort of thing, because then you know how it changes how you feel, and you know what's true.
Yeah. Well, you're obviously both enjoying working with Declan a lot, but look of you.
Yeah.
I suppose you ought to be getting back to it, really. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Jodie and Tom.
Three Sisters and Cymbeline will be at the Barbican London between May the 15th and June the 24th, 2007. Half-price tickets for students are available on Wednesday evenings. For full international and UK tour dates and ticket booking information, log on to www.cheekbyjowl.com.